The Pacific Islands will rely on COVID-19 Vaccines Global Access Facility, known as COVAX, to roll out their COVID-19 vaccination program. Australia has committed over $500 million in funding to the dispersal of COVID vaccines in the Pacific and Southeast Asia. Despite donations like this one, COVAX is substantially underfunded and is yet to release a single vaccine. Concern has been raised that poorer countries might get overlooked in the race by wealthier countries to get a hold of restricted vaccine supply. Dr. Colin Fonotu Tukutonga is the Associated Dean in the Pacific at the University of Auckland. He says there is a chance countries in the Pacific could be sidestepped as more developed countries rush to get a hold of supplies.
That's a very real risk, of course, and this is why I think the involvement of the governments of Australia and New Zealand is really important, because the small island states, they could get lost in the shuffle and be relegated to the back of the queue. And I know that the New Zealand Prime Minister in particular has been very vocal, as well as the government officials, to try to make sure that the small island states are not left behind. Both Australia and New Zealand government, of course, have allocated money to COVAX, as well as money to purchase the vaccine, enough for New Zealand plus islands in the region. So I'm actually quite optimistic that they will get the vaccine, but there is a risk that the bigger, more affluent countries will, I suppose, dominate the supply, at least in the early stages.
Pat Conroy, the Shadow Minister for International Development and the Pacific, thinks a delay in the rollout of the vaccine, as has been predicted, could have dire economic consequences for Pacific nations.
I think there is a real risk that our poorer Pacific neighbours will be sidelined, and that the majority, or if not all, the vaccines go to the rich nations. And that's problematic for a couple of reasons. First, from a cracking down and stopping the spread of COVID, it's poor. The WHO have done studies that have shown that if the vaccine was allocated first to health workers across the world, rather than just being given to an entire population in a rich nation, then that will be much more effective at stopping the spread of COVID. But secondly, these are some of the nations that have been most impacted economically from the COVID crisis. Some of these nations have seen their economies shrink by half. So if we don't get a vaccine rolled out to those countries, their economies will continue to struggle to a degree much greater than even Australia or the United States. And that's a lesson in misery for those people, and it's a huge destabilising force in our region.
Fiona Russell is the group leader for the Asia Pacific Health Research Group at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute. She thinks logistics around administrating the COVID vaccine could pose a challenge to the speed at which the vaccine could be rolled out in the Pacific region.
I think there's a lot of challenges in the region. I mean, firstly, it's sort of coordination between, you know, the various partners involved, and how COVAX is potentially offering 20% of Pacific Islander populations to be vaccinated, but many of them will want to have all their population that's age eligible to be vaccinated. So there's a number of different partners in the region, which is fantastic, that are offering to support Pacific. There's Australia through the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, and there's also the New Zealand equivalent. And of course, there's also the World Bank and Asia Development Bank. So coordinating through the UN agencies is very critical, but also there's potential for donations of vaccines too, and also not having just one vaccine, but many vaccines potentially being offered. This makes it very challenging for countries to, particularly with the logistics of rolling it out. For example, the Pfizer mRNA vaccine has been offered to all countries to vaccinate 0.25% of their population, which is essentially the healthcare workers, by the COVAX facility. However, that vaccine, as we know, requires ultra-cold chain, and the capacity to top up the shippers that it comes in every 5 days with dry ice. So there are some countries that may not have dry ice and may not be able to vaccinate their population within 5 days, potentially. So there's that issue. And then there's the issue of, if there's different vaccines with different side effects, then healthcare workers will need to be trained, and each time that a new vaccine comes, in terms of how to administer it, what the side effects are, how to look after it, and the storage requirements, and the containers that's required to be stored in, potentially the age groups to be vaccinated. There's a whole range of logistical things that we require ongoing thought and training with healthcare workers in the region. So there's many different challenges.
The UK-based Economist Intelligence Unit has predicted it is likely to take 4 years to vaccinate 60% of the Pacific Islands population. Dr. Tokwi Tonga says he thinks these claims are invalid.
Yeah, that's a risk. That's a very real risk, of course, and this is why I think the involvement of the governments of Australia and New Zealand is really important, because the small island states, they could get lost in the shuffle and be relegated to the back of the queue. And I know that the New Zealand Prime Minister in particular has been very vocal, as well as the government officials, to try to make sure that the small island states are not left behind. Both Australia and New Zealand government, of course, have allocated money to COVAX, as well as money to purchase the vaccine enough for New Zealand plus islands in the region. So I'm actually quite optimistic that they will get the vaccine, but there is a risk that the bigger, more affluent countries will, dominate the supply, in, at least in the early stages.
Pat Conroy says the rollout of vaccines in the Pacific may not come fast enough.
Well, I think 2025, on the information I've received, is probably a realistic figure. You never quite know, but I think some islands will be earlier, particularly islands in the North Pacific linked to the United States. But a lot of the nations, I think 2025 could be the realistic figure. And obviously some experts have said that could be optimistic for Papua New Guinea. So I think it's one where everyone needs to redouble our efforts and make sure that we don't forget our Pacific friends. If they truly are our family, as the Prime Minister says so often, we need to demonstrate some love for that family.